Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing it has been. What a blessing it's been just to be in church. And I trust that you feel the same way. When you come into the doors of the church, we pray all week long that God would use this as a place of refuge. And not only for our people, but for visitors alike, I just trust that you have sensed the presence of God in this place today. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 6. One of my favorite passages of scripture, and we'll be preaching out of this morning, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be reading verse 25 down to verse 34. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again today, again we thank you, Father, for the opportunity and the privilege to be in church today, for all that have come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church, and for what we've already received, Lord God, thank you for every bit of it. But now, Father, as we open up your holy word and we look into the scriptures and present the message that you have for us today, I just pray, God, that you would work in our midst and that you'd give each and every one that ear to hear exactly what you have for them today. I ask you, God, Lord God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. In Matthew, and most know from chapter 5 through chapter 7, is what we call the Great Sermon on the Mount by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament and to usher in this New Testament church age that we have been living in for some 2,000 years. These chapters, chapter 5 through 7, reveal much concerning the New Testament Christianity. I would encourage you periodically to go back and just to the book of Matthew and read and reread chapters 5 through 7 and let God speak to you concerning this Sermon on the Mount and all the things that he addresses there. I think it would be a tremendous help to us if we would do this more often. But what Christ taught in our text this morning and what we'll be preaching on, verse 25 down to verse 34, I believe is most powerful. And I believe it truly needs to be understood, especially by all believers today, and knowing what God is revealing to us here. Something that I read, and when I first read this many, many years ago, I guess, even as a young child in Sunday school, I didn't quite understand it. It took years for me to fully understand it. And although I've always held on to chapter 5 and 6, rather than verse 33, And that's something that we all understand. That's a verse that is often used in counseling as well, but just to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you do that, all things shall be added unto you. And that's maybe a verse that you are very familiar with as well. But as we look at this text here, in verse 25, we find it says this, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought." Take no thought. And then it says, "for your life." Look in verse 31. Here we find the very same words. It says, "Therefore, take no thought." Don't think about it, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or whether shall we be clothed. It says, don't think about food and clothing. And then in verse 34, it says, take therefore no thought. Again, we find, it reveals that to us in these three verses here, take no thought. And in verse 34, it says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the tomorrows. And I wonder, as I look at this, and you might be thinking as well, are we not to think about these things? These are necessities of life. These are things that we think about every day. I don't. Most of us, we wake up thinking about what we're going to have for breakfast. And then we think after breakfast, what are we going to have for lunch or dinner? It's part of our everyday lives. We have to think about what we're going to put on every day. We clothe ourselves every day. Hopefully, trust that you do anyway. You clothe yourself every day. And life in general, just all about life. The Bible says here, take no thought. Well, in order to understand what he's saying here, we need to read the entire text. And I think verse 33 holds the key to understanding what he is saying to us. In verse 33, it says, but. And all these take no thought. He says, but. He said, this is what I want you to do. Instead of focusing and being consumed about all these things of this world, he says, but seek ye first. Seek ye first. Ye being the believers. He's speaking to the believers. The message I want to preach to you this morning is seek God first. I believe that's the meaning of this passage of Scripture. That's what Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples, and he would have every New Testament believer to understand this as well, that no matter what it is that we're facing, no matter what's taking place in our lives as we go through this life, the most important thing for us to do is to seek God first. In verse 32, the Bible says, for after all these things, things that we just have talked about, life, food, clothing, the things of this world, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek. Now, we understand the Gentiles were those that would have been unsaved, or those that would not have known about the Messiah, those that would not have known about salvation at this particular time. And so he's revealing here the Gentiles are the unsaved. They're consumed by the things of this world. However, but for the believer, for those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, the believers have something of a greater value. The believers have something that is of greater importance for us to keep on our minds. And that is God and his kingdom. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. God and his kingdom, or his ways, his will. This almighty creator God, he has put everything into play. He has created humanity. He created everything for humanity. He created the heavens and the earth. He establishes everything. He established time. He designed time for humanity. Because at the end of the world, there'll be no more time. Time will come to an end. And so what we need to be mostly concerned about and what we need to keep on our minds more than anything else is God. and his kingdom. You see, the unsaved seek life without God. People that don't understand who God is, they don't understand that God is very much a very personable God that desires to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. If they don't know God, they don't believe in God, then they seek to live their life without God. And they're consumed with this life and the things of this life. They don't consider God when it comes to career. You ask a high school graduate that does not know God, that's not saved, have you prayed about what you're to do with your life? Prayed about? No, I know what I want. I know my thoughts and my desires and what I'm looking to do. But they seek to live life without God. The world, humanity, the Gentiles, those that are faced with life every day you get up. But if you don't know God, then you're not looking and seeking God first. You're looking and seeking on what you desire for that day. They do not consider God. Now, the Bible talks about a man like this, and not too long ago we preached a message on this, but Luke in chapter 12. In Luke in chapter 12, let me just read it to you. You possibly know the passage very well, the rich fool. And this was someone that did not seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There was someone that did not consider God concerning his life and his ways. And we find the Bible talks about him in this parable, the rich young fool. And it says in chapter 12, verse 16, and Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, his thinking within himself. He's not thinking about God. He's not seeking God. He's thinking about this world and the things of this world. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. A lot of the mindset of the lost today is exactly that. I'm just going to take my ease and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, whether you understand that, believe in God or not, there is a God. And God reveals how he would address somebody with this kind of mentality. And the Bible says, and God said unto him, thou fool. The Bible says it's a fool that says there is no God. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Can I tell you that the world, the ungodly, do not consider God. They seek life without God. But for the believer, but ye, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are to seek God first and then life. No matter what it is that you might be thinking about, even the necessities of life or whatever comes after that, whatever it is that you're facing, can I tell you the first thing that ought to be at the forefront of your thoughts, the first thing that you ought to see before you look at anything else in this world is God. We ought to keep God's image in front of us so that we're looking at God and then looking at anything else that goes beyond our sight. Whatever else comes next is we see God first. Whatever we're thinking, whatever we're looking forward to, whatever we're dealing with, can I tell you the most important thing for the believer is to seek God first. See God in whatever it is that you're dealing with in life. Whatever it is that you're faced with in this life. We're to seek God first and then life. As we think of life and raising children, to think of the beginning of this life, what is this? And praise the Lord for children. We know they're a heritage of the Lord. And we when we have children, it changes things, because then we understand the responsibility we're going to have for the rest of our lives. But as we raise children, we raise them thinking about educating them. The most important thing that the children need as from birth through school age years is education. And so we think about educating our children and educating them for whatever purpose they have for life. Now, for the believer, we ought to understand the most important thing in education for our children is the fact that there is a God. For the lost, they don't have that concept. They are raising their children without God. And so their priorities are going to be off in what they're trying to do. They may be raising their children to be that athlete that they always wanted to be, or raising that child to be that cheerleader that mother always wanted to be, or raising the children for their personal goals and wanting them to live their life through their children, whatever it might be. But listen to me, that is the last thing that you need to be doing. What we ought to be doing is seeing God and raising our children to get an education to realize what they need first and foremost is to understand that there is a God. Because that will determine the direction in life that they'll go. There is a God, or if they don't believe in God. Those that believe in God are going to go one direction. Those that believe there is no God will go in a different direction. Career, life, schooling, and then what am I going to do with my life? For the rest of my life, what am I going to do? This world, well, you need money to live in, but money is not everything. Money's not what ought to motivate us to live life. What ought to motivate us to live life is God. He has a purpose for my life here. We've been going in a Sunday school series here the last month or so, and producing fruit, and through our lives, producing fruit that remains. That means producing things that are useful in the for the cause of Christ, producing things, doing works that God can work through and use, making our lives productive here. But this is just a temporary life. Being more concerned about the eternal things and the temporal things. And so what I'm doing in my life as I'm facing life, my idea of what am I going to do with my life, it needs to come first of all, God, what is your will for my life? Well, to raise our children, understand that there's a God and that God has a purpose for their lives. And so your career should not be motivated by how much money I can make. Your life should not be motivated by any of these things outside of God's will for our lives. That will determine how we educate them. If you are raising them to serve the Lord, or if you're raising them to take care of you when you're old. If they're serving God, then they'll do that anyway. And then we seek God concerning marriage. When people come to me and ask me, will you marry us? Can we get married in the church? I'll talk to anybody about it. But if they're not seeking God, I can't ask for God's blessings upon your relationship, on your marriage. You can't have a church wedding, because a church wedding is all about asking for God's blessings on your marriage, this union. Now, I've had many opportunities, because they're just looking for a facility and they want to rent the facility, and we don't rent our facilities to anyone, but I'll talk to them about it, and when they come in, I'll talk to them about salvation. They get saved, then I can help them to understand that it's God's will for your life is what you need. Now, if you want a church wedding, it's because you're wanting God's blessings on their marriage. And if you want me as a pastor to oversee that and to marry you, then you're asking for God's blessings. And that's why you want a man of God, a pastor, to marry you. Praise the Lord for that. But I wonder if you would go to those in picking out a wedding dress, and they're all excited about it, and you would ask them today, have you prayed about who you're marrying? What do you mean pray about it? He's a good-looking man. And that's what you're going to base that marriage on. Can I tell you, he's not always going to be a good-looking man. He's not always going to be all that you have imagined in your mind. If you would go to those men that are over there picking out tuxedos or whatever it might be for their wedding, and you go into one of these tuxedo rental places and you talk to those that are coming in, thinking about and getting ready to get married, and say, have you prayed about the woman you're going to marry? And what do you mean pray about? Have you seen her? Marriage. Most important thing about marriage, the thing that you ought to be looking to first, is God. Can I tell you that God knows you and He knows who you need better than you do? Amen. Now, praise the Lord for those. I believe that God is going to bring an attraction together. I think that marriage is somewhat, you first meet somebody, those that you are attracted to. Amen. And you go out and you get to possibly develop a relationship here, developing a relationship here. But the idea of marriage is for life. You know why divorce is, if we even getting married today, but you know why there's so much divorce in the country today? Because they didn't seek God first. When you seek God first, can I tell you, God can give you peace about a relationship that will last for a lifetime. Yeah. And in marriage, think about children. As we're, this is life. We're looking at life and we think, well, how many children do we want? Before you determine how many children do you want, I think the most important thing for you to do as a husband and wife is to look to God and say, God, how many children would you have us to raise for you? Then ask God to give you those children. Well, I'm just going to have as many as we want to have and just let it be what it is. I don't know about that. I think you ought to seek God in having children. You ought to seek God in how many children He would have you to have, because that's a responsibility for life. And in life, the most important thing for us to look to is God. Seeking God first will impact how we live our lives. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are become new. Why are all things to become new? Because I see it in a different light. I don't see it as in the light of my desires and my will. I see it in the light of God, His desires and His will for my life. So seek ye first. The Bible says there in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Things of life. He goes on to say, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. You know, that's in the Bible. Jesus addressed that. He said, not only are you looking at life in general, understanding the most important thing for you, the Gentiles seek after, they're going to live a life and they're seeking how they want to, what they want to get out of life and how they're going to, what direction life they're going to go, what kind of careers they're going to have, who they're going to marry, how many children they're going to have. But they fail to include God. They fail to look to God because they don't know God. But ye, you know God, look to Him first. And then He also says, then addresses food, what you shall eat. In verse 31, it says, therefore, take no thought, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink. Now, some possibly worry over providing clothing. And I think that that is part of what he's talking about there is don't worry about it. Just look to me. Seek me first and look real. I'll provide for you. But for most, it's not about worrying about having clothing. It's looking to God first to control, for food, but looking to God first to control what we eat and how much. I know when I was in Bolivia, anytime I go on a mission trip, I usually lose about 10 pounds. I need to go on one. I'm about that place right now. But the reason I lose weight is because I eat only what I have to. I take with me jerky, and I take with me packaged stuff, and always bottled water. I always make sure because you never know what you're drinking, and you never know what you're eating. But when you get on the mission field and you go out with the missionaries, they'll take you to the families that they're ministering to, and they will offer you their very best, and you it would be very disrespectful if you didn't eat what they put before you. And I remember when I go on mission trips and I sit down, I'm thinking, Lord, only you know what's in this. And you really learn to pray and ask God to bless your food. And in blessing your food, kill everything in there that can do me harm. Amen. Lord, you know I'm on the mission field. I'm here representing you, and I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to be rude. I want to be a blessing to those that we're reaching here. And so, God, I pray that you would bless this food, and it's sincere. I wonder how many times we ask God to bless our food that it's really asking God to bless our food. But if you stop and think about it, if you look to God first, would that change the way you eat? Amen. Would it change whether or not you go back for thirds and fours? Would it change how you eat or what you eat and when you eat, whatever it might be? But if you look to God first, can I tell you that we ought to enjoy food? I mean, you can't be a good Baptist, especially independent fundamental Baptist, without enjoying food. We need to enjoy food, but we should not be consumed by what we eat. And so many are hindered by what and how they eat. Need to look to God first to control what we eat and how much we eat. What am I saying? I'm saying that I believe we ought to be mindful of our health. The body is a temple of the Lord. I believe God would have us to be mindful of that. And so even as we look to God to provide for our food, and we ought to look to God and be thankful for our food, acknowledges God. Not only that, but he also says in this passage that we've read, seek God first and then clothing. Verse 25 again is for your body what you shall put on. Take no thought what you should put on, as far as don't dress the way the world dresses, not realizing there is a God. He's telling the believers here, don't think like the world does. The Gentiles, that's all they think about. But don't think like the world does. Look to me concerning these areas of life. Seek God first and then clothing, what you shall put on. Now some, no doubt, possibly worry over providing clothing for their families. And God says, when you're thinking about that, you're worried about that, thinking about, look to me and I'll supply your need. I know what you have need of. But again, for most, it's what we put on and realizing what it associates us with. We should trust God to provide and please God in our appearance. That's seeking God first. When you get up in the morning, seek God before you put on whatever it is that you put on. Seek God first before you eat whatever it is you eat. Can I actually ask God to bless this? Is this something that God will bless? If it's not something you think God can bless, you can't ask for God's blessings on it. On life. On what we eat, on how we clothe ourselves. Are we more concerned about pleasing the world? Are we more concerned about pleasing God in the life that we live, in the clothes that we wear? Can I tell you, for the born-again believer, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's our testimony. What you wear associates you with certain things. It's our testimony. Very important that we have a testimony that is pleasing unto God. And then finally, what he says here in verse 24. Take therefore no thought. Don't think like the world. Don't look at tomorrow as the world looks at tomorrow. But as a born-again believer, look to God first. Seek God first and then address tomorrow. Some are consumed by laying up for retirement. As you get older, and especially I'm right at that place, you are thinking about that. I think that it's very wise that we plan ahead, that we realize what we need to prepare for. Amen? I think that's wisdom. I believe the Bible tells us to be wise in these things, but to be consumed by them. And thinking about tomorrows without looking to God first will mess you up. But if you look to God first and then say, God, I know that you're in control of my finances and you're in control of what tomorrow holds. And God, help me to understand what is wise to do, but help me to serve you first. Some are consumed by laying up for retirement and others are consumed with dying tomorrow. Think about, am I going to live another day? The Bible says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What is God telling us there? Jesus is teaching them to fight the evil or the spiritual battles every day. Be more concerned about fighting the battles today. And the morrows will take care of themselves. If we do what God would have us to do today, tomorrow's will be taken care of. If we do not do God's will today, we're going to have problems with tomorrow's. But if we do His will, God will take care of our tomorrow's. James chapter 4, closing. James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, verses 13 to verse 15. What am I saying this morning? I trust that you're getting this. No matter what it is you're faced with, look to God first. That's what Jesus was teaching His disciples. Look to God first. This is the Christian life. This is the great Sermon on the Mount. This is what God wants every born-again believer to be aware of. Look to God first. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, he says this. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That's just getting it all planned out. Having the rest of your life planned out, but without leaving any room for God to work. The Gentiles want to do that. But ye as a believer are different. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. This physical life. For that ye ought to say. Now I love that. This is seeking God first. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. What is that? What is James telling us? Seek God first. When it comes to tomorrow, when it comes to whatever a day may bring, listen to me, seek God. Do what God wants you to do. And he says in verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So do what you know God would have you do today. When it comes to seeking God and then addressing tomorrow, know this. What we cannot control, God can. Instead of being so worried about what tomorrow holds, know who holds tomorrow. Know who's going to control tomorrow's. And be more concerned about today and looking to God and accomplishing what God would have me to accomplish today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all other things shall be added unto you. God will take care of the other things. Seek God first. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.